Hello, this is Pastor Michael K. Jones, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
So about an hour after I got off the air, I got an email from a public relations firm in town informing me that Fall Creek Academy, one of the original charter schools in Indianapolis, and University Heights Academy, formerly Fountain Square Academy, Fountain Square Charter School, would be closing in June at the end of the school year because Ball State University, which chartered the schools, was not going to renew their charter, which was up for renewal. Both of these schools, particularly Fall Creek, have had a checkered history. When Fall Creek started as one of the first charter schools, it had great academic performance the first year, kind of slipped a little bit for about 4 or 5 years. They were kind of like a C, and then deteriorated after that. They originally were a mayor's charter school. The mayor refused to renew their charter in 2011. And they went over to Ball State, and they came under the leadership of Challenge Foundation Academy, which is now the Avondale Meadows Charter School, which is an outstanding school with an outstanding staff. And those people over there really thought that they could turn Fall Creek and University Heights around. They felt that probably they needed another year to do that. And for reasons we still do not understand, Ball State did not provide that opportunity. When I heard about this, I reached out to the people at Ball State University and was really, first of all, upset that Ball State did not inform the media of this situation themselves. They told the school on last Friday and left it to the school, which is a cowardly way to do it. If you're the authorizer of a charter school, and you make the decision not to renew the charter, you have a moral, not just a legal responsibility, a moral responsibility to let the community know. So I reached out to the people at Ball State wanting to hear from the director of charter schools. Let me read you his original email answer to me and other media in town. Quote, this is from Robert A. Mara, Executive Director, Office of Charter Schools, Ball State University. Mr. Brown, the Office of Charter Schools has informed Fall Creek Academy and University Heights Academy that the school's contracts, which were due to expire in June at the end of the school year, would not be renewed due to chronic underperformance. The schools have until February 3 to file an appeal. Drew, Did the temperature in this room just drop 40 degrees? Drew's putting on the fur coat right now. That's cold. Nowhere in this statement does Mr. Mara express sympathy or any kind of understanding or feeling toward the students and parents and staff of those two schools. So then I email him back. I said, Mr. Mara, thanks for the info. Can you confirm that with this decision, Ball State will no longer be chartering any traditional brick-and-mortar charters in Indianapolis? Only the two virtual schools, Indiana Connections and Hoosier Academy? Also, can we schedule you on our show this Friday, sometime in our 2 p.m. hour, to explain to our community the reasons for this decision? His response, Mr. Brown, the schools that you reference in your email are still under contract with the university at the current time. I have prior commitment and cannot make your Friday show. Man, temperature just dropped another 20 degrees in here. We'll take a break. Lines are open. I want to hear from parents at Fall Creek Academy, at University Heights, because I'm about to go off on Robert A. Mara, Executive Director, Office of the Incompetent Charter Schools chartered by Ball State University. I take that back. The Incompetent Office of Charter Schools. No soul, no feeling, no compassion. And doesn't have the guts to come to this community and explain why. What does chronic underperformance mean? What an insult, Ball State. Office of Charter Schools.
We'll get your reaction to all of that, 239-1310, and we'll tell you about Tarkington Park in about 30 minutes. Afternoons with Amos for Thursday.
WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
Welcome back to the second half of Afternoons with Amos. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. A total of five schools, five charter schools, will have closed or will be closed by the end of this school year. Flanner House was the first, just a couple of weeks after school started in August. Then there was an announcement a few days later that Andrew Academy and Padua Academy would be closing at the end of the school year. Now Fall Creek Academy and University Heights Academy. 239-1310. Marsha has got a connection with all this. Hi, Marsha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm a parent of a child that's attending Fall Creek Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm a long parent of the charter schools. Fall Creek Academy, they dropped the shell, of course, for the lower grade level. So, hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, so my they dropped a bomb on us last year for my fifth grader. I had to immediately find a replacement for my fifth grader this year.
Right.
Now I have a high schooler. And my children have been in Fall Creek Academy for the past 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
My high schooler is a sophomore. They have promised us, for our high schoolers, that they, when they graduate, that they will graduate with associate degrees.
Mm-hmm. With Ivy Tech.
And,
yeah.
Exactly. In coherence with Ivy Tech.
Mm-hmm.
They're now closing Fall Creek Academy.
Yep.
What are they going to promise us now? Because that was one of the greatest things that I thought could ever happen to students that school.
Let me ask you, I know they had a meeting, one of several meetings they're planning with parents. Do you know when the meeting is? Was there a meeting last night? Did you go to it?
There was a brief meeting to tell parents about this closing.
Right.
I was one of the parents, one of the first parents actually yesterday after school,
mm-hmm,
standing there talking to the secretaries, and while they were supposed to be an awards ceremony for the children,
mm-hmm,
but it turned into we're closing at the end of the school year, and they served us cake afterwards, the students' cake afterwards. So then, some of the parents found out about it. Some of the students got on their cell phones and called their parents.
Hold on. So you're telling me at an award ceremony there was mostly students but some parents?
It wasn't even some parents. It was a award ceremony for the students.
So the students found out first.
Yeah.
And then the students that had cell phones lit up the parents and grandparents.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Yesterday at about 4 o'clock. About 3:30.
So have they announced a time when parents will get together and be able to vent and figure out, you know, and express their emotions about all this?
They're going to tell us today.
They're going to set a meeting. Oh, Lord.
I think they were giving all the parents time enough to find out about this situation, which was 24-hour notice.
Right.
And they're going to set a meeting for all of us to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of us parents have talked, and we're kind of trying to figure out what is going to happen to our children's associate's degrees that we were partners with Ivy Tech with. How can they explain that to us? A lot of us kept our children there at Fall Creek Academy just for that reason.
Let me ask you this, Marsha, because I'm with you the whole way. How important is it that you hear from Ball State?
Absolutely important. Ball State they have to give us an explanation
All right.
for this.
Marsha, now you mentioned that the parents have y'all been talking, texting, and calling, right? Amongst
exactly.
themselves. Are you got a piece of paper and a pen right there with you?
Yes.
All right, you ready to start some stuff? You ready to do a Selma?
I am.
I'm going to give you the email address and the phone number of the director of the Office of Charter Schools of Ball State University.
Okay,
are
I'm
you,
ready.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, his name is Robert.
Okay.
Middle initial A.
Okay.
Last name Mara, M-A-R-R-A.
Okay.
He's the executive director, Office of Charter Schools, Ball State.
Okay.
His email address, which is public. I'm not telling no secret out of school. It's a public email address. You ready?
I'm ready.
R A M A R R A. Okay.
Okay.
At
B
S U.
Okay.
Dot E D U.
Okay.
Now, I bet most of the parents have unlimited phone calling on their phones. Right?
Right.
You can make a long-distance call that won't cost you nothing, right?
Right.
Here is his phone number.
I'll take it.
Area code 765.
Okay.
285.
Okay.
1336.
All right.
Parents of Fall Creek. Parents of University Heights, taxpayers, because we pay for all this stuff. Blow Mr. Mara's email and phone number. Blow it up. Blow it up the way the Patriots football should have been blown up on Sunday. And the reason is this so-and-so. Every time Ball State has closed a charter school, I have asked this guy to come on this show. The last time I saw him in person was about a year ago. And I invited him on. I said, we had the head of the state charter school board on. We've had, obviously, the mayor's charter school office. You charter schools that affect my community. My community wants to know what you guys are all about. You need to come on. Last night after I got his last message, I said, okay, if you're busy on Friday, what day next week can you come on? He's not answered me. You know what that means.
Answer?
Blow his phone and email up. Blow it up.
Because we as parents are going to demand that he gives us an answer.
Oh, he needs to get his little butt in the car and drive the 50 miles down to Fall Creek, down to University Heights, and face you all face to face. I fussed at the mayor's office. I fussed at the deputy mayor for education. But at least he has always had the guts to show up at a meeting of parents when they've made a decision to close a charter school. He has been there, listened to parents, took the complaints, and was a man about attending himself. You see what I'm saying? If the mayor's office could do that, then Robert Mara, the executive director of the Office of Charter Schools at Ball State, needs to come and talk to y'all.
Yeah, we need an explanation. And just let me mention this, too, because I heard you guys mentioned this a little earlier ago.
Mm-hmm.
For the kids that are going to charter, I just want to say that they're all not below average.
Absolutely.
Because that is not why I chose charter for my child.
Right.
My child was not a below average student at all. Now one of my children. They're actually A's and B's students and always have been. I chose charter because it was a smaller setting, and I didn't want my children seeing cops at the door and being packed down going into school. So I chose to take my children out of IPS system and put them in something more structured setting than that. So when you were talking to the young lady at the other college, you guys were mentioning why these kids were at charter school.
Mm-hmm.
Charter has changed in 9 years.
I'm with you when you're right on that. Thank you, Marcia. Let me know if you get any response from Robert Mara. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Melissa, 239-1310. Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I'm also a parent of a Fall Creek student. He is a junior. Came home very concerned. I did not have the pleasure of attending the award ceremony. I was one of the parents that received that emergency phone call because he was in panic.
Mm-hmm.
He is approaching his senior year, and, you know, as any child, he wants to make sure that his credits will transfer. He's an athlete, and he wants to make sure he's going to graduate. And I didn't see anything or hear anything from the school or from the charter that assures us as parents that these children will be prepared to go anywhere in this state with transcripts. We've had problems with getting grades and all of these things. So while they're closing the school, we want to be assured that walking into the next RAM will have what we need.
While you were listening, did you write down Mr. Mara's phone number and email address?
I did. And I'm hoping that I'm a part of the Parents in Action, that we can get out and advocate for other parents to follow behind us.
You know, he needs to fill up his voicemail so that he'll wonder, why am I getting all these calls? Well, Mr. Murray, if you had come on the air today to be able to start answering some of the community's questions, I wouldn't be blowing up your voicemail and your email. And if the PR department at Ball State, they just now sent me a note, the PR department, they're not listening yet, where they said each school was provided details on the reason for non-renewals, and they, the school, can share those with you if they so choose. Oh, no, no, no. Ball State, you are the charter organizer. It is not my response. It's not the school's responsibility to tell me why you denied their charter. It is your responsibility, Ball State, to tell the public. It's a public document. Don't tell me. Go to the school. Y'all are the charter organizer. Step up and accept responsibility.
They have the final decision, and I would think they would stand behind their final decision.
You know, girl, blow them up. Here's the other thing. You got friends and neighbors that pay taxes in the state, right?
I sure do.
You text that information to them. Tell them to call and email. Because it's not just the parents that are involved. It's us taxpayers. We paid for that school. We pay for Ball State to be the authorizer of the school. It's our tax dollars. And for Ball State to have this arrogant, we don't need to talk to black people about their school, is, you know what that means. Blow up his email. Blow up his phone. Let him understand that there's consequences to insulting parents and students and staff of charter schools. All right, I appreciate it. You got your job, right?
I do, and I will take my assignment seriously. Thank you, Amy.
All right, thank you. Let me go to Felicia, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there. I just had a comment about the charter schools. I have a 10-year-old grandson that went to Lighthouse Charter School off of 42nd and Franklin Road.
Yeah.
While he was going to that school, he was a straight-A student. I mean, straight-A across-the-board student. He transferred to another school outside of the charter school, Allisonville grade school.
Out in Washington Township. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, not Washington Township. Washington Township. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, when he went to that school, him being a straight A at the Lighthouse School, when he went to that school, his A was not the same A as it was in the Lighthouse. For example, his reading, where he was required to maybe read 80 words per minute at the Lighthouse School, this school pushed a little more.
Right.
And I really appreciated that, because even though he had been an A student at the Lighthouse School,
mm-hmm.
he was top of the class, in this school, his A is probably a B.
Okay.
But they push more, and I appreciate that, because it's making him, he's learning more, even though he's not as high as he was. I think the expectation in the charter school was not high. It was just minimal.
All right.
Whereas the school that he's going to now, they're really, you know, he's really being pushed. So I don't think the charter schools push the students as much as they should to be better.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. If you want to communicate with the person who made the decision to not renew the charters for
Fall Creek Academy and University Heights Academy. He's the executive director of the Office of Charter Schools of Ball State University, who is extraordinarily reluctant to come to our community to explain his decision. And his name is Robert Mara. His email address is ramarra at bsu.edu. ramarra at bsu.edu. His phone number is area code 765-285-1336. Area code 765-285-1336. Be nice and courteous to the receptionist. But you want to know, why aren't you coming to the community? Why aren't you going to the parents? Why aren't you explaining your decision instead of sending a cold, callous email that simply says would not be renewed due to chronic underperformance? It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
Hello, I'm Ebony Chappelle, and I'm with the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper. You're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And coming up, we'll update you about what's going to happen over at Tarkington Park, 239-1310, 239-1310. Back to the phones in Reggie. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Listen, Amos, I attempted to call Ball State a year ago, being concerned about the academic schedules that they said should be demanded from the students in terms of what they were learning. He would not answer. He never called me back because I left word with the secretary that they need to assess the children first to determine where they are, then devise the curriculum around what the assessment is. Now, Amos, I thought Ball State, since it was Ball State and academia, I thought that they could do that. But understand this, charter schools, whether they're nonprofit or profit, they're only interested in making money. And so if you don't stay on top of them, and that's for the charter schools here in Indianapolis, the parents need to understand what's going on. They don't put money back in athletics. Some of them don't even teach anatomy because you have to spend money. They need to understand what's happening, and they have to answer to somebody, especially Ball State.
Well, you know, and it's interesting to me that the people that took over Fall Creek and University Heights from GEO are the people that have Avondale Meadows, the Challenge Academy. And I think everybody accepts that that's a great school over there. They do an outstanding job. And I think the people at Challenge Foundation honestly thought that they would be able to turn those two schools around. And
yep.
I think what happened was they needed more time. And for whatever reason, Ball State did not want to give them more time. They could have given them a 1 year extension, a temporary extension. You got one more year. They could have offered to provide some resources, maybe some academic resources from Ball State's Department of Education to help. Instead, it's very cold, and especially not explaining the reasons behind their decision, and then to have the attitude, ask the school. I'm asking y'all. And the other thing is, because we had a number of charter schools to close over the last few years, there's now an expectation. People expect the authorizer of the charter school to be man or woman enough to take the heat.
Right.
They
expect. It's not their responsibility.
Yeah. They take that. But Ball State's attitude is, we're going to hide in Muncie.
Right.
And it's wrong. It is totally wrong. Our legislators need to call the president of Ball State on the carpet and ask, why do you tolerate a charter school office where the head guy doesn't want to talk to anybody?
Right.
Not only, here's the thing that really got me. The same cold statement he sent to me, he sent to all the media.
Mm-hmm. Amos, above the law, they don't have to answer to you people in Indianapolis. We're in Muncie.
Yeah, well, guess what? Your tax dollars and my tax dollars pay his check.
I agree.
You know, so my thing is, long as you, and here's the other thing. How embarrassing is it for Ball State that now you have authorized no charter schools anymore in Marion County, in Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm.
How embarrassing is that?
Right.
You know, it almost demonstrates that you don't know how to educate black kids. You don't know how to educate Latino kids. You don't
Thank
know
you.
How to educate poor kids from poor white families.
Ball State,
a teacher that started as a teacher's college. You don't know how to educate our kids and put together world-class charter schools. What an indictment of Ball State. If I were the president of Ball State, I would be calling this Robert Marion to my office and say, explain to me how we have had nothing but failures in the charter schools we've chartered in the largest city in Indiana. Mr. Mara, can you explain that to me? Because if you can't explain that to me in 20 seconds, go to the unemployment line in Muncie.
Well, he should have to answer to the president of Ball State. The thing that you said in terms of education, then what are they qualified for? I mean, how do you look at this? They obviously didn't send people from Ball State down to evaluate what's going on with the schools.
And that's the other thing. Trust me, we're going to be asking for copies of the evaluation. We're going to be asking for the letter that Ball State sent the people at those two schools in terms of informing them. That's public record. That's public record that should have been released today. I appreciate the call, Reggie. Let me go to Anonymous right quick. They tell me you're talking about the NFL.
Yes, I am. And how are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you? What's
up? Okay, well, I'm going to make it short. I want to know the referees, the guys that had the yellow flags.
Yeah.
Okay. How come they didn't realize the balls were deflated? They handled them enough.
You know who asked that question this morning? Robin Roberts on Good Morning America. She asked that question, and come to find out, the referee, after every play, what happens? The player gives the referee the ball. The referee takes the ball and spots it so they can start the next play. So the referees were touching those balls. They couldn't tell it was deflated?
They knew when he changed the ball in the midst of the play. He stopped them, throwed the flag. There was no nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
He just changed the ball. Why did he change the ball? I mean, the referees ought to be responsible for part of this too.
Can we call Olivia Pope and have her investigate this? I think it's time for scandal to come back. I think this ought to be an Olivia Pope worried about it.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Let me go to Tamara at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm calling with a concern that happened with my son in a school yesterday.
Okay.
There was a particular she's not even a teacher. She's a staff member for the township.
Mm-hmm.
And my son apparently had a hood on in the classroom.
Had a what on?
A hood. He had a hood on
okay.
in his classroom.
All right.
The teacher, because he has an IT, so this hood has been resorted as a comfort zone for him and has been approved for him to be able to put on a hood.
In the written IEP?
Correct.
Okay.
So he had a hood on. And while he was in the classroom, there was a lady that was in the classroom working on telephones.
Okay.
She is a employee of this.
All right, let me move up. What did that employee do?
She's a technical support.
What did she do? What did she?
Asked my child to take the hood off.
The support person.
Correct.
And while the teacher was in the room.
Yes, and the teacher advised her that he was okay.
All right, then I can smell what's getting ready to happen.
What happened after that is she went from behind my son, grabbed my son's coat while it was zipped up on him,
mm-hmm.
and tugged the coat, choking him while he's crying, telling her, "You are choking me. Get your hands off of me."
All right, did your son touch the employee?
No, he never touched
All right, employee. What action is the school taking?
So far, they told me she's been suspended.
Now, who's been suspended?
This technical support person.
Okay, that's a good sign.
My concern now is, whom can I speak to? Because I am no longer even comfortable was sending my child to a school where he was physically attacked.
All right, okay, all right, let's do two things. The permission to wear the hoodie is written in the IEP, correct?
We just did the IEP.
No, you didn't answer, answer my question. Is it written in the IEP?
It should be by now because it was done, adjusted on Tuesday.
On Tuesday of this week?
Yes.
Ask for an emergency conference.
Okay.
Ask for an emergency IEP conference. That's step one. Okay. Step two, discuss this matter face-to-face with the principal of the school.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not satisfied with that response, move up the chain of command.
Okay.
To the principal and if, not to the principal, to the superintendent if necessary, to the school board.
Uh-huh. I've already spoken with them.
Okay, but again, if you had a case conference and that was supposed to be in the IEP and just the paperwork is slow, call an emergency meeting.
Okay.
Because the teacher was in the room, correct? I mean, the teacher was
correct.
The teacher was in the IEP conference, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the teacher would know the staff member was wrong. It sounds like the school disciplined the staff member, but there needs to be that conference just to make sure that everybody is on the same page. And was the principal in the case conference you had?
Yes.
Okay, then you had all the proper people. You're asking for an emergency case conference, which is your right under the law.
Okay.
Because circumstances have changed. If they ask what circumstances change, it's because a staff member didn't want to listen to the classroom teacher because the classroom teacher runs their class, not a staff member. The only person that could trump the classroom teacher would have been a principal, another top administrator, or the superintendent.
Correct.
Not a flunky. Okay?
Correct.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310.